Aloha, it's 4 o'clock. You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio. Time for Out of the Box. I'm your host, Dave Giroux, and I'm flying solo today. Jonathan Jay will not be in the studio. I'll give you the reasons why in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. Okay, so Jonathan will not be in the studio today, actually for the next few shows, because he is running for the KIEC board. And the station thought it would be a good idea for him to take some time off and not conflict with his duties there and not to, give him special privileges, make him equal standing with all the other candidates. So he will be missing the next few shows. I'm not sure when the election is, March, I believe, something like that. So a couple of months then. If he's elected to the board, then he may have to quit the show altogether. I'm not sure. If not, then he will be back just after the election. So anyway, got nothing special here on the show today. Got a bunch of news, and we will be talking about some KIUC issues. There's obviously a lot going on with the special election, as the little public service announcement just indicated. And there's an effort by a group, truthkauai.org, where they're trying to make some changes to the KIUC organization. They have a platform of some pretty interesting points that I'd like to discuss. And the phone lines will be open for the entire show, so please call in and make up for the time that Jonathan Jay would normally be talking, so you don't have to listen to me the whole time. So 826-7771, and if you're off-island listening on the Internet or maybe listening over on Oahu, give us a call on our toll-free line, which is posted around here somewhere. Oh, here we go, 866-275-1112 is toll-free line, so you can let us pick up the tab for that call. Hey, there's somebody calling in right now. Let's go straight to the phones. Aloha, caller. I'm hoping you wanted to go on the air.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Oh, very good.
You know, I want to compliment you because you do such a good job. You're so wise and you're so intelligent, and when you give us all the facts and all the opinions, and you don't make us ignorant people feel stupid.
Okay.
Yeah, I really appreciate that about you.
Well, thank you very much.
An artful way of being intelligent, and without making other people that are less intelligent feel stupid, because you're just basically trying to share the information.
Well, thank you very much.
I really appreciate that kind of humility.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot, because you do a wonderful job, and I don't think there's many people that could do such a wonderful job as you do.
All right.
Well, anyways, have a nice day.
All right. Thanks. Well, we need some more calls like that. Okay, let's see. I'm going to start with a little bit of news in the world before we get to some of the local issues here anyway. The Geneva 2 talks began this week, trying to solve the Syrian crisis. Iran was originally invited to attend because they're an ally of Syria, and they're probably critical in helping to solve the situation, but the U.S., I guess the Syrian rebels decided they didn't want to participate in the talks. So if Iran was going to be there, so they the U.S. told Iran they were no longer invited. And then the day they started, then the U.S. came out with a report issued by Qatar, a Gulf state, oil state near the Persian Gulf anyway, and they came out with a report saying how much atrocities that have been going on in Syria from the Assad administration. They've killed tens of thousands of people through torture and extrajudicial killings, and how terrible a guy he is and how he needs to leave. And this comes, you know, the day that these talks supposedly, or were, these talks were starting, they come out with this report. The report turns out it comes from Cotter, was not very well researched, or it was just an opinion piece, and now the U.S. is using that as perhaps a pretext to demand the removal of Assad. And this doesn't go well with the spirit of the talks here, where they, you know, should be bringing all the issues up and talking about them rather than going to the media with these blown up reports and, trying to solve the situation. So it really seems like the U.S. is really trying to sabotage these talks before they even get started. There's a phone call. I'm going to go straight to the phones here now and see what they have to say. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Aloha, David.
Yes.
Well, it's quite a little kabuki theater we're having here. From my point of view, the way I look at the facts on the ground is that the Sunni religious folk, namely Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, they're on one side. So they're pushing basically under the covers, they're pushing the rebels who are against the Shia Syrian rulers, Mr. Assad, and of course he's backed by the Shia countries like Iran. So what is the United States to do? I mean, to be a fair player, they're trying to, you know, balance out all these competing international forces and religious forces, and I find it tragic for the folks who are being chewed up in the process. Just
right,
every
well,
war, it's always being chewed up, regardless of whether you were a radical or a homosexual or a Jew in Nazi Germany. It's beyond tragic.
Right now, I don't remember there really being that big a divide between the Shias and the Sunnis in the past. And it seems to be they're exploiting that division or that difference between these two groups now, just when it's in their benefit to do so.
Well, in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, it wasn't so much about, well, whether the Protestants, namely the former English rulers and their progeny and their inheritors, or the Roman Catholic folk, it wasn't so much that they didn't believe in the same God or same religion or same Savior or whatever. It's about power.
Right, yeah. And, England
right.
wanted to hang on to their territory in Northern
right.
Ireland, and Ireland wanted their country back, their
right.
whole country back. And so, we know during that conflict, and it has come out since then, that the British government was using terrorist tactics, blowing up, pubs and buses in Northern Ireland, blaming it on the other side and using it as a pretext to invade and send more troops in there. And so, we know that they did that. It's not even in dispute at this point. And so now it seems like somebody is going around. I mean, look at Iraq right now. Iraq
right.
is they call it a civil war more than anything else, but there's just bombings in the markets every day. Car bomb goes off, kills 50 people one day, 100 people the next day. A school is bombed. There's tens of thousands of people dying every month in that country. And it seems like somebody is trying to stoke the flames there. They blow up a Sunni target, then they blow up a Shia target. And it's like these groups never used to fight against each other. That was a civil society there. They regularly intermarried. They, worked together all the time. It was never an issue in that country. But now it seems like there are outside forces that are kind of using that as an excuse to.
Well, I think it has to do, of course, with
bring them
with
down.
Again the money, the oil revenues.
Right. Yeah.
And the whole thing is, the Shia majority, a huge majority in Iraq, was suppressed under Mr. Saddam. And, of course, he's Sunni. And so the thing is, I'm sort of a news junkie, and I can see just how bad it gets in the world. I can only take so much, but I always watch, Yeah, because I'm retired, I watch the NHK, the Oriental Point of View, and then I watch BBC and a little bit of PBS, and of course I listen to Democracy Now, and I read a little bit online. But the thing is, it's more than tragic. I mean, I just wish, you know, I didn't vote for the gentleman, but I'm glad I didn't, because hope and change, and then of course Mr. Kerry, who was such a seemingly a transparent individual during his criticism of the war in Vietnam, having been there, I was hoping that Mr. Obama and Mr. Kerry and all these folk who are seemingly supposed to bring hope and change, why can't they just you know, talk Turkey to the world and say, listen, we're not going to put up with you know, these political machinations, this kabuki theater, and all these people are, like, you know, put to the meat grinder. And, I mean, why can't they just call a spade a spade? Why can't they just, you know, have some refreshing, what the Germans call real politic, okay? You know, cut to the chase. I mean, you know, enough is enough. It's just like, for example, unfortunately, most people aren't Buddhists. But the thing is, like in Vietnam, the young people today, they don't want to hear about the war. They're Buddhists. So when you start going on about the past problems, you know, it's like they know what goes around comes around. Maybe not in this lifetime, but in some future lifetimes. So it's like, and they take the giant B-52 bomb craters and they make fish ponds.
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, of all the people who've been, first the French were there for over 100 years, then the Japanese, then the Americans, then the Russians, and of course, that you ask them, well, who are your favorite people? They say Americans. They're more joy people. And they call Russians Americans without money. And I find that kind of attitude extremely refreshing. And I just wish that our great leaders, and I use that in incredible quotes, would, like, just tell it like it is and call all these countries. And, of course, there's Japan. Japan is, you know, has been going on, because we have the most conservative prime minister, Mr. Abe, since World War II. Now, he visited the shrine for the dead of World War II, and then so China's all been out of shape, and of course they've been out of shape. China was, Japan was an incredible aggressor, and the thing I find interesting is that Germany has copped to their past sins against the world and tried to mitigate those sins. However, Japan doesn't really get the point. I mean, you can't rape and murder 300,000 people in Nanking, which they did. You can't go into the Koreas to all these other countries that they did, and Indochina and everything. And I mean, I just wish Japan would say, "Hey, yeah, we're going to lose a little face. We're going to cop to our sins, but you know, we're sorry, and we're doing, and I know they're doing a lot of good things in the world today, but the first thing is to, like, you know, cop to your sins and then go from there."
Yeah, admit that that the other side, you know, or whoever you might be talking to, has an issue with you. And you just can't preach to the Chinese and say, get over it kind of thing. You know, if, say, it was an unfortunate thing. You know, most of the people that were there are dead. There is no longer an issue with the rest of us. But you have to admit that, hey, the country did the wrong thing there. And we have to identify the fact that, you know, the Chinese are upset about it. And so you can't just tell them to, you know, get over it. You know,
yeah, I don't know,
pretend
if
it didn't happen.
Have an overview of exactly what's happening. You know, the people who study history in the schools today, the kids, I don't think they really get a clear view of what has happened in the past. And then my last point, sir, is on the local issues. I had a friend who was complaining that she had, like, an extra $10 plus charge on her electric bill. So I thought, no, that's the customer charge. So I went over to visit with her today, and I saw her last couple months' bills, and for some reason they have been charging her the $10+ for the non-standard meter, the non-smart meter, and she didn't request this. So I was wondering, I was going to give
a call to all the folks
on the island, if anybody has had an issue of being charged for having the smart meter taken off when they didn't even request this.
So she does not have a smart meter?
No, she does. Well, I went and looked, and I couldn't really tell by the smart meter.
Yeah,
I couldn't really tell by the six smart meters or 6 meters on the side of her apartment complex. But the thing is, I was wondering if anybody else on the island has...
Well, it's been on my bill for the last 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they started it at the beginning of the year.
Did you ask for the...
Well, I asked that they not put a smart meter on my house, and then 2 months ago they started charging me for it. So when the board voted to charge the fee, then it went on the bill.
Yeah, but see, she told me she didn't ask for them, and I just by surveying the meters, I couldn't really tell what was a smart meter and what was not.
Well, I would say that she's got a case there with them because...
Yeah, well, she called and ragged them out, but the thing is, I'm just wondering if anybody else on the island has this issue.
I was getting charged even though they didn't request, or they may have a smart meter for that matter.
Well, she may be confused, and maybe she did call and ask them not to, but she tells me she didn't, so I just don't know. I look at my bill, and I'm just waiting for after the election to see if I can afford
pay the $10,
and then have someone come out and monitor my home environment.
Well, we heard from the CEO of KIUC who said he was on Felicia's show on Tuesday, and he said, there's no need to test. There's no problems. You know, there's no health concerns. There's no readings. You might get some readings, but it's not it's below the levels of any health concerns. So they're not going to do that. Basically what he said.
Well, I'm going to pay someone out of my own pocket to have come out and, you know, one of these organizations and just to see just what's happening.
Right.
But I disconnected my answering machine. I'm calling you on the old slimline phone. So I don't know if the Pope calls, I'm not.
I thought it was a Princess phone.
Yeah, I have that.
Oh, you have two of them, a slimline and a Princess?
I have one in abeyance in my electronics basket. But the thing is, then since my computer died, I go to the library and use that because so I don't have a router. So when the person comes in and gives me a reading, I'll be interested to see just what my electronic pollution is.
Right, yeah. All right, good luck.
Thank you so much, and give a shout-out to Jonathan.
Okay. All right, aloha.
Thank you, David.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation there. The guy asked if anybody else was having that problem with the KIUC. And I just noticed on my bill, I have a house that I requested not to have the smart meter because it's like right on my daughter's wall. You know what I mean? It's just like real close to her where her bed is. So I said, I put up the thing and they did not put a smart meter on there, but I let them go ahead and put one on my guest house because the meter is like by the road about 120 feet away from the house or something. So figured, you know, no radiation problem there. So,
sure, yeah.
So I looked at my bill and they're charging me the extra $10 on both my house and the guest house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah, they're snakes.
Have you called them about that yet?
Pardon me?
Have you called them on it yet?
No, I was just going to go down there tomorrow and rag on them heavily. Yeah, I'm going to go in there and let them know how I feel about it, you know.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting, man. I guess it's not just the one caller with the problem.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, you know, it's total nepotism deal. If you're in their pocket, you're good. If not, you're trash, you know. So.
Right.
That's my take on it anyway.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, Dave. This is Raymond Catania.
Oh, yeah, Ray.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to call in to make an announcement on a local issue throughout Hawaii. It's becoming a big issue with the legislature on the minimum wage, and some of us are going to be holding signs from Pride at Work and Raise the Wage Hawaii tomorrow from 4 to 5:30 in front of the shopping center on the highway. Right across the GMO fields there, on that corner that's right across, I guess, Taco Bell in that area.
Yeah.
They're going to be holding signs to tell people that the minimum wage should be raised to $10.10 an hour, you know, more than what Abercrombie's calling for, which is only like, I think, $8.75, which is a drop in a bucket. Even $10.10 ain't that much, but it's more than what he's asking for.
Yeah, it'd be hard to live on that. It's
no,
your only income, but still,
I mean,
better than $7.50.
I have relatives that are living on that, you know, young relatives, and they're having a very difficult time. They have to work two minimum wage jobs to make ends meet.
You know? Yeah, so that's 20,000 a year. What's the what's the poverty level? What do they call that? The do you know what the poverty level is in the U.S.? You
know? I don't know. I don't know what the poverty level is on the U.S. though, but I just know it's much more difficult here in Hawaii, you know, and so we have the highest cost of living, and I think 19 states have raised their minimum wages to over $9 an hour. And even though we got the highest cost of living, our wage hasn't gone up in over 7 years, you know. And there's been a 20% increase since the last raise of the minimum wage. So people are having a difficult time. And our poorest workers, they need a break. Yeah, a lot of them are women as well, you know. And
right.
Most of them are over 21 years old.
Right,
they're
trying
to make a go of it. And they're having a difficult time, I believe.
We're talking on
74 to 75,000 workers in Hawaii alone.
So in Democracy Now! The other day, they were having a discussion about this, and they said, you know, the average age of a fast food worker, Walmart worker, is 29.
Yeah, that's about right.
They say, it's just high school kids, you know, with a little job so they can have a car or something like that, and, you know, spending
ridiculous
money.
I mean, you know, you're right, because like 85% or more are over 21 years old, and these are a lot of young workers not out of school, you know. And this misnomer of it just being high school kids working for a pin money is wrong.
Yeah.
They're trying to make a go of it. They're trying to survive, you know. There's a national movement going on for a living wage of $15 an hour, and that's being spearheaded by Walmart workers, you know.
Right.
In fact, they've even gone out on strike and blockaded certain Walmarts throughout the mainland. We're not there yet. You know, one day we may have the workers willing to do something like that. But at this point, we're still going to be raising these issues.
Yeah.
And,
now,
it's a hot button issue. You know?
So 10-10, would that be adjusted annually for cost of living or anything like that, or is it just
asking for 10-10 an hour and if we're to be adjusted for cost of living increases, but that's going to be difficult to get, you know, because the opposition at the state capitol, whenever the raise goes up, they want to increase the tip credit for say waitresses, you know. And like right now, waitresses, they make over $75 a week in tips. Their minimum wage is only $7 an hour, and the minimum wage is $7.25, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, we don't want the tip credit to go any further than what these workers are getting right now. In fact, we want to do away with that tip credit, you know. I think it's pretty discriminatory. For the employers to charge their waitresses and waiters less, you know, than the minimum wage, which is $7.25. So we're trying to stand up against that as well. But it's going to be a tough fight. It's not that easy. You know, this is like the third year that we've been fighting to increase the minimum wage. And, you know, the governor has finally given in, but he's still piecemeal on this thing, you know.
Right, yeah. Bumping it up a buck isn't going to help out much.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to help out. You know, we want that to be over $10 an hour, $10.10, and in 3 years, you know, 2015, the first raise, 2016, and then 2017 without no increase in the tip credit. That's what we're asking for, you know. And, you know, like the thing is that there's going to be a number of legislators, they say that they want an increase, but we'll see how far they go on this thing.
Right. So you say the 75...
The Congress is fighting tooth and nail to not have it.
So you say 75,000 workers in Hawaii work at minimum wage? Wow.
Yeah, 75,000 workers in Hawaii working for the minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. That's a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, that are struggling. And then even if you're making $9-$10 an hour, you're still struggling, you know. You're still having a hard time, you know. Like, I'm retired, so I got Social Security and I got my union pension, so it's not too bad. But for a lot of these young people starting off, you know, that are in their 20s, they're having a hell of a hard time.
Yeah, and then you see some of these states where they're taking away the pensions of workers.
That's right. They're taking away the pensions
Michigan
of workers.
Michigan, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit,
oh, yeah.
Where they went,
you're
it's
right.
Called bankruptcy.
No.
Yeah, you think you work your whole career there, and you start finally relax and get a check, and then they take it away.
Well, you know, I've worked for the state of Hawaii for 22 years, and I'm going to fight like hell to keep my pension.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to be a member of the Hawaii Government Employees Association, the United Public Workers, and both of these unions, along with policemen and firemen, you know, teachers, professors with all the pensions, you know, that we're really, you know, really concerned about. And within the state constitution, we're guaranteed this, you know. And we're also guaranteed collective bargaining rights within the state constitution. But the Chamber of Commerce and the business elements of in both the Democratic and Republican parties, they're going to be trying to come after us, you know.
Right.
And it's people are having a difficult time, you know, and we need all the help that we can get.
Yeah, so give some more, repeat the information about the action you're going to be doing then.
Yeah, okay, it's going to be tomorrow, Friday, in front of a Kukui Grove on the northern side, on the highway across the GMO fields over there.
Right.
And pretty soon, too, we're going to be showing some showing a movie called Inequality for All. That'll be probably coming up sometime next month, you know, and we're going to be showing that as well. We'll get that out to the community, you know, and like the widening income gap in the United States.
Yeah,
it'll be
right.
talking about that.
What time again?
And pardon?
What time was that? Friday.
Friday at 4 to 5:30, Dave, from 4 to 5:30. And if people need information, they can call me, Ray, at 634-2737. Okay?
All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. Right. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just going to call about that little segment right there. In the late 1960s, the minimum wage was $2 and something cents an hour, and today it's $7. But if it worked with the inflation, it would be over $20 an hour.
Oh, really? Is that using U.S. official government statistics or real numbers?
Real numbers. We would have more than a $20 an hour minimum wage if it was equal to the minimum wage in the late 60s.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's what it should be. But it's getting lower and lower and lower. Inflation's going up and up and up and up, and everybody's getting poorer and poorer and poorer. I mean, how much do they want? You know?
How much are they going to take?
Really? That's all I got to say about that.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. Laura. Okay, phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you want to join the conversation. Let's see what else is going on. Here's a good story I found here. Mexican citizen militia movement takes back city from the cartel, the drug cartel. You know, last week in Nueva Italia, Mexico, heavily armed citizens seized a drug cartel's business and stood up to defend themselves without the aid of the state. 100 pickup trucks filled with citizens ready to defend themselves arrived in the town where they were hit with gunshots. But the citizens themselves were armed with AK-47s, bulletproof vests, among other equipment. And they, after about an hour and a half standoff, they arrested the cartel members and turned them over to authorities for prosecution. But, you know, they had tried for years to try and get the state to shut these guys down. You know, and you know, in Mexico, there have been tens of thousands of people killed over the last few years by the drug cartels there, people that don't cooperate with them or just get in their way. And some of the people in Mexico are taking it upon themselves. They call this movement the agorist movement, A-G-O-R-I-S-T, after the term agorism, which basically means letting the people do the work rather than waiting for the government to do it. So, you know, when the government fails to act, then, you know, the citizens step in and shut them down. So it's kind of interesting. I wonder if this is it says in the article here that there's a many other towns in Mexico where this is going on, but that they're just tired of waiting for the government. The government is so corrupt. They're getting money from the cartels. They're just ignoring what's going on there. And so they, you know, took it upon themselves to get the job done. And it worked in this case here. So anyway, that's a good news story for Mexico, but it's not over. And no, there was also a hearing, congressional hearing, I believe, last week, where a bunch of people from Mexico were reporting that the FBI has been cooperating with the Sinaloa drug cartels in Mexico and providing them with assistance and with intelligence information if in exchange for the Sinaloa cartel reporting on the activities of their competition, say. So when there's somebody else is, you know, running drugs in their territory, they call the FBI, they get the other people, but they totally overlook the Sinaloa cartel. And then Sinaloa is very brutal, you know, responsible for many killings of civilians and police officers in Mexico. And so the FBI has been working with the cartel to help them and hopefully bring some of the other people down. But then well, there was a couple of years ago, a year ago or so, the Fast and Furious scandal that came out where Eric Holder I forget agency, it was the FBI or ATF, was giving arms to the cartels there, giving weapon, high-tech weaponry to the cartel. And those weapons were used to kill U.S. Border Patrol agents as well. So they, so the FBI is assisting the cartels in Mexico in their business and allowing these drugs to be imported into the U.S. So the people of Mexico are upset about that and have taken it upon themselves. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes here, or if any repercussions come to the FBI for the assistance that they're giving to these criminal elements. There was a phone call a second ago. I didn't catch it quickly enough, but call back 826-7771. Try and get you on the air. There they are. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I wanted to go back just for a second to the minimum wage that the gentleman was talking about.
Okay.
And the 1010 movement. And part of my focus in college was economics, and they kind of taught me there that the raising the minimum wage just inflates the cost of everything. And at that time, I looked lower to question what I was taught. And you know, it's just not true with the way that things are working now and the top percentage taking so much of a cut. So I know that's been one of the points that the people against the movement have been making. So it's just something to keep in the back of our mind as we start hearing the defenses against the 1010 bill. And also on
so
that
wait, wait.
Bill,
what do you say? What changed your mind about that then? What makes you think that it's no longer a viable reason?
Well, it's been a slow, it wasn't one individual event, but if you just, basically the widening income gap and the way that the corporate CEOs and the managers and just the top percentage is making so much money, and these giant corporations are making so much money, and they're making it very difficult. If you look at small, locally owned businesses, almost none of those employers pay their employees the minimum wage. It's mainly gigantic firms and corporations that pay the minimum wage, and they're the ones that are making ridiculous amounts of money. So that's kind
so
of
they
the
can
basis
af-
for
they
that.
Can afford it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, would say McDonald's, if they started paying their employees $10 an hour, are they going to have to charge more for their hamburgers and french fries, or you think they're going to take it out of their profits?
I'm just making an educated guess. I haven't looked directly into the finances of McDonald's. But, no, I don't believe they would. They might take a very tiny hit to their bottom line, but I believe that they're making so many billions of dollars that paying their employees a wage they can at least try to sustain themselves off of is not going to break them. And it's not going to make them poor, the owners and managers poor. I think that they could pull it off without a substantial hit to their bottom line.
Yeah, I wonder what they would have to charge. Say if they passed the whole, you know, raise over to consumers, how much would their prices go up. And I don't know how much percentage of their price is labor. I don't know, but I couldn't imagine being.
Yeah, that's a good question that I can't answer. But honestly, the price that they're charging for a burger, I might get slack for this, but you can't really get real food for that price. So I don't know. They did have to raise their prices a small amount, I don't think it would be the end of the world. But my argument is that I don't think that they would have to do that. I think that they just might have to accept a tiny, tiny decrease in their, I'm assuming, outrageously high annual profits.
Yeah, because I know they squeeze all their suppliers all down the line to get the cheapest ingredients that they can get.
Exactly, and it's all those, just to reiterate, it's these big, big companies that are doing that. It's not the local hardware store. It's not the local artist gallery that's paying their people minimum wage and squeezing their suppliers, as you said.
Right. Now, if you had two restaurants side by side and one of them, you know, paid their employees minimum wage and charged, you know, $2 for a burger or whatever, and then next door, you know, they paid them $10 an hour and they charged $3 for your burger, would you, which one would you go buy your burgers from if you ate there? I mean, would you pay the extra amount?
As an individual, that's a no-brainer. I would pay a little bit more for a burger. I think a lot of people would, not everyone. There would definitely still be some people that would put price over anything. And that's something as consumers that we should all ask ourselves. There's actually an awesome book for that subject, a little pocket guide called The Better World Shopping Guide.
Yep.
And it ranks just thousands of companies and products and stuff on how they treat their employees, how they treat the environment, how they treat animals, these five different categories. I always forget two of them. And it can help us make more informed decisions and support the companies that are trying to pay people a living wage and are trying to respect our natural resources and so on and so forth.
What'd you call that book again?
It's called The Better World Shopping Guide. I think it's like $10. It's a very affordable book, and it's small, so you can keep it in your purse or your pocket or, I don't know, wherever.
Okay.
Helps out.
So it gives you a little more information when you're shopping for whatever and give you information on what they're paying their employees or where they get their...
Rates, just so it can be small and contained, it rates everything on an A to F scale. And then if you wanted to look deeper into their research on an individual company, you could go to their website and get more details. But the book just has like the basic ratings and then a little bit more information on a couple key companies.
Oh, that's interesting. I saw something recently where it was an application for an iPhone, a smartphone, where you can scan a product code and then get all kinds of information about it, nutritional information, you know, where it was made, all sorts of things by just scanning it in. And then you know, all this information just pops up. So, you know,
that's a great idea, too.
Yeah, you're going down the line there. You see two products that look the same. You can scan them each in, find that one's real food and the other's, you know, GMO or whatever, you know, made by slave labor in China with lead content through the roof.
Exactly. And I think that's the easiest way for all of us, no matter if we're trying to live off the minimum wage or if we're rolling in the dough, if we just pay more attention to things, we can help change slowly. We can help change things.
Yeah.
So, thank you for having me on.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
Bye. Okay, phone lines are open, 826-7771. I saw an interesting story today. Eric Holder, I guess he's the head of the Justice Department, U.S., although he ought to be in jail himself. He has offered a deal to Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who released the NSA documents 7 months ago or so and fled to Russia. He said he would be willing to discuss with his attorneys ways of getting him back to the country, back into the U.S., if he pleads guilty to three felonies: disclosure of intelligence information, conveying classified documents to unauthorized parties, and theft of government property. Then, if he pleads guilty to those three felonies, then he will they would discuss his terms for returning him back to the U.S. I thought that was interesting. Tell a caller to hold for just 1 minute. I thought it was interesting because I think, I mean, it doesn't sound like a very attractive deal. If you plead guilty, we'll let you come back to the country, and then we'll put you in jail for the rest of your life. I mean, that's what he's facing right now. Maybe he can get the death penalty right now as treason or something like that if they wanted to. Maybe that's taking that off the table. I don't know. But I don't know why Eric Holder thought that Snowden would jump at this opportunity, you know. I don't know, maybe think they're sounding reasonable or something like that, but I was listening to this on CNN. I got a link to it, and the CNN reporters were saying, you know, what a terrible idea this was, because it would embolden other whistleblowers to, you know, do the same thing and release all these documents, thinking that they can get off quite easily by, you know, just making a deal with the government. You know, and so this doesn't sound like a very good deal to me, and certainly wouldn't make me want to do something that's going to jeopardize my chances of spending the rest of my life in jail. And so, you know, I don't know where he's coming from on this one here. Maybe one of our callers can understand this better than I can, but it didn't sound like a very good deal. Well, let's go to the phone. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, Snowden is a national hero.
Right.
An absolute national hero. And the worst part about America is that we get dumbed down and everybody believes that we are not the government. We are the government, right. You know. But people don't want to stand up for it. If Snowden came to Kauai and all the Kauaians wanted to back him up, he wouldn't get arrested. But on another point, I think the biggest issue right now is the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
That's going to affect everybody. And I think that should be a real big topic, because that's coming up this month. And even though I've only learned a little bit about it, I understand some of the points as far as Monsanto goes, as far as our GMOs go, as far as, well, there's 100 things that they're going to do behind closed doors that everybody's going to be involved in, whether they like it or not. And it's going to be kind of like the secret society behind the world that's ready to get there and control us. We have so many corporations and so much money. We only get a choice of two presidents, and both of them are owned by the corporations. It's ridiculous. And then now the Trans-Pacific Partnership's coming up, and here you go. We got the whole world elite with the puppets of Obama and everybody else. We don't get a choice on anything. All they're going to do is railroad all of these bills and all of these things to make sure that we stay subservient and we are in our place.
Right. Now, I heard they were going to vote on whether to fast track the authorization of that. Has that been voted on yet? Do you know?
Not yet. I think it's on the 23rd.
Okay.
The 23rd or 26th.
And so what that would do is it would allow the Congress to either vote yes or no on it, but they couldn't make any changes to it at all. And so they have to vote it up or down, but it's like they don't even read it at that point. You vote it whether you like it or not, but you can't change it, and chances are you probably won't even get to read it, for that matter.
Well, look what happened with the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was written, and everybody read it, and then on Friday they gave them a new Patriot Act with amendments, and on Monday they had to vote on it. It was how many hundreds and hundreds of pages on this bill of the Patriot Act, and they had to go and read through every single one to find the discrepancies of the different things on it before they said, oh, yeah, we'll just go for it. Well, it's Patriot Act. You have to vote for it. Who knows what they're going to do?
Right.
It's not up to us. You know, they're doing is railroading rules down our throat that we don't want until there's a revolt. They're just waiting for a revolt. Hey, we're going to do this. If they don't revolt, we're good. If they revolt, well, we'll rescind a couple of things, but we'll make everybody else feel good, you know, or everything's still happy. We're good.
Now, somebody released a portion of the draft that they were working on, and you know that all the negotiations on these things are being done by corporations, you know, in secret rooms. You know, our trade representatives are there, but nobody's there representing the people. And so the corporations are basically writing this whole thing for themselves, and then we don't even get to see it all. But somebody released one of the chapters. I think it was a chapter on intellectual property rights or something like that. It might have even been some of the Snowden releases or something like that. You know, the language in there was really onerous and not in the best interests of the country, for that matter.
They would own our water rights.
Well, they would own all the resources. They own all the resources in the water and in the world. And I could see that being an issue on Kauai with our water because, you know, we have plenty of water here. I mean, it rains a lot up in the mountains. And so somebody could come up here and say, hey, we want to put a big pipeline up into Kauai. We want to suck the water. We're going to drive tankers up here every day and fill them up and haul them off to wherever, California or, you know, South America, Mexico. And if we say, no, we would rather you not do that, well, then they would just take us to court, and we would have to pay them as if they were making money on it anyway. I mean, either we would allow them to do it, or we would have to pay them not to do it. And they would make their money whether they did it or not. And so it's like all the resources of the world belong to the corporations, and if we somehow get in their way, then they just take us to some secret court, and they will win, and we'll have to pay them or allow them to do whatever they want to do. But, it's pretty ridiculous, though.
Yeah, and you know, it's what another thing that's ridiculous is that there's nothing on it on the mainstream media. You know, we get to hear about Bieber. Who the hell is this guy? You know, you hear about all these other things going on in the world and da-da-da-da-da that really make absolutely no difference to our lifestyle. This is a lifestyle of America, not only Kauaians, but America, all of us.
Right.
We're all in it, and they make no mention of it, none. And if they do, it's generally a completely biased, one-sided argument. You're going to have a person sitting behind a desk, a talking head, and then somebody else who disagrees with them that can't make a statement because the talking head cuts them off, and then all of a sudden, no, next subject. Well, let's go on to Burger King commercial.
Yeah.
We don't get any information, and
right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I found on the internet here, it was a WikiLeaks that released that chapter, but at least you can get a little peek into what's in there now, what they were discussing previously anyway. You know, we won't see any of this until it's ready, till after it's voted on, probably.
Right, yeah, we're not going to know the real big issues and how they're going to affect our daily lives. They don't send out a memo, you know, and say, hey, you know what, if we do this, this is what's going to happen to you. Not only that, but they're going to go behind closed doors and have a vote. Who knows who's going to vote for what behind closed doors? It was the same thing that What's-Her-Nuts did for the Super Ferry. You know, went behind closed doors, we're going to just change the law.
Yeah.
You know, well, why? We don't want you to. Supreme Court said no, but they still brought the Coast Guard against us.
Yeah.
You know? So... Good old Linda Lingle. It's absolutely ridiculous what's happening to our country right now at this moment, and 99% of the people are aware of it. In fact, I'm one of them. I only know probably 0.1% of what they're going to be talking about, and I'm appalled about that 0.1%. I have no idea what they're going to do with the rest. What's the rest of the discussion about?
Yeah.
How many ways are you going to divide the pie, corporations? How many ways are you going to screw us, corporations? There's 0.1% of the population that own, 99% of the wealth? They're the ones dividing the world. They're the ones that are funding both sides of every war. They're the ones that are probably, if you look through history, they fund the Sunnis and they fund the Shiites. You know, they fund America and they fund Vietnam. They fund America and they also fund Germany. But George Bush Senior, whatever the first George Bush was
Prescott.
Indicted for backing Germany.
Prescott Bush.
he was selling steel to Germany so they could build weapons to attack us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the big banking industry. This is the world that we're living in, and people just don't seem to realize how global it is and how few button pushers there are and how much power they have. You have a few people like Obama is low on the chain. He's not number one guy. Obama has very few choices.
But he's pushing,
in my opinion.
He's pushing it.
He's trying to do something, maybe, but I think he is bought out and sold like every other president we've had.
Yeah.
I honestly have absolutely no faith in a president. None. Yeah.
Well, they don't have the real power.
Part about it is that my favorite president right now, and this sucks because I was raised in, and I'm sorry to talk over you. I apologize, but I have to make this one more point. I was raised, you know, Russians were bad, Americans were good. And my favorite president right now is Putin.
Well, I've gotten in trouble for saying that very same thing. And I kind of like him. I think he's standing up to the oligarchs in a lot of cases. You know, he's got a lot of faults there, but, of his own, but he seems to be on the right side of many issues. So, hey, we got another call. You any closing remarks?
All right, Aloha. I apologize for taking up so much time.
No problem. Aloha. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave. This is Jimmy Trujillo.
Jimmy, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Enjoying the conversation.
There's lots
to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to get around to KUC here, well, maybe right now for that matter. But
I did want to let listeners know that this Saturday, the Wailua Kapaa Neighborhood Association and Apollo Kauai are partnering up to host a candidates forum for the Board of Directors KIUC election. I guess the election starts later on in the month of February. It's going to run for the last couple of weeks and end early in March. So it's kind of one of the first candidate forums. Hopefully we'll have some more, because I think that the more people know, just like you guys are talking about, the more people know about what's going on with the affairs of their co-op, their utility co-op, whether you're a member or not. Somehow you're a power consumer, and, you know, some of us are cost causers as well. But anyways, the candidate
cost causers,
the candidate forum starts at 2 o'clock, and that's at the Kapaa library. And we're going to try to get coordinating a little bit of a public affairs team to broadcast that live, because it's a small venue. I think there's probably going to be no more than 60 people if they fill it up, and they usually have a pretty good turnout. So it's not a roomy venue at all, but hopefully we'll
Saturday afternoon, you know, people are usually at the beach doing their business, whatever. You know, it's not the most favorable time, but, you know, there should be a lot of people.
When is a good time, right?
I know,
you know,
yeah.
A lot
everybody
of people don't even want to go to something like that, especially, like you said, on a beautiful afternoon. But
right.
That's one of the ones that we got going on. And, I think, you know, we were talking, Dave, a little bit earlier just about the whole business of our co-op, and I hear a lot of complaints of folks, you know, saying that it's the co-op in name only. And the more I'm learning as a candidate, the more I realize, gosh, a lot of that is true. And that's an area where, you know, I hope if get elected, you know, one of three, Jonathan Jay is also another candidate, and Adam Asquith is throwing his name into the hat. Neil Shantar is also joining the fray. There's a couple of other folks that, you know, people might not be too familiar with. Chuck Lasker is one of them, and I want to say Daniel McGinnis, but that's not his last name. I wish I had the.
I've got it in front of me here. If I can find it.
DQ Jackson is another outsider trying to get inside. The other three sitting board members that Teofilio, Phil Tocbian, he's up for re-election, as well as Peter Yukimura, the director that's been there for a while, as
David
well
Eha.
As David Eha. So those three are the sitting incumbents, the sitting board of directors that are up for re-election. And Stu Burley is a former director. Stu lost his seat in an election, I think, 2 years ago. Ran again last year against Jonathan Jay and Carol Bain and Jan Ten Bruggenkate. Alan Smith was the third director that got re-elected. So Stu's trying to get back into the fracas. It'd be kind of interesting. I hope that you're able to get some of those candidates on the air.
Yeah, we'll be trying to do that.
Where their positions are, you know, I can speak of my own, you know, primarily, and I hope others will chime in too. But, you know, from our first experiences as board wannabe members, several of us were just kind of blown away with the training material or the content in regards to why the board functions the way it does. It was good board training, I guess, but it also confirmed what a lot of people suspect, is that, you know, the board just kind of goes along with the position of the experts, and those are the paid staff of our utility co-op, and they make decisions, and the board will approve it or not. And usually the board approves something, and it's not always unanimous, but once it is, the decision by the board, it's a unanimous front that they present to community, and I guess that's the justification for the board and management to support spending however many thousands of membership dollars to influence the outcome of this special election, that special election that's going on today, that'll be determined on Saturday, the 25th. That special election is costing all of us members some money. They could have wrapped that election into the general board of directors election and saved some money.
Yeah.
And they also could have saved some money by not trying to influence the outcome of this election by mailing a bunch of vote yes or paying for advertising.
Yeah, full-page ads.
Full-page ads, Dave, you've seen them. And,
yeah,
and if you're listening to Pandora on the radio, on the Internet, you're hearing that ad, too. That's not cheap advertisement, and that's our resources. So all of us this year are going to have a smaller patronage dividend, that benefit as members that we get. We get a little bit of extra cola, a little extra money comes our way at the end of the year, depending on how much energy we consume. And we're going to get less because of the decisions by management and the board to defend, if you will. And that's their position. They're defending their position to make extra fees and make another group of members be cost causers in the hopes that, I guess, according to Adam Asquith, one of the candidates, you know, to get us onto the smart meter program, that there's this big push to get everybody on the smart meter program. For whatever reasons, people suggest that it's a booster, a bump up in technology, is going to make things more efficient. But others would argue that it's just an expensive way not to read meters in your yard, that it's just a high-fangled way to charge you without having to get into your business. But other people complain that that's what it is. It's all in your business.
Well, it was interesting that David Bissell was on the air Tuesday.
Yes, with Felicia.
Right. And he says that, you know, in the future they may, you know, there's been some discussion, but it's not been, you know, officially put forward yet. But there are some decisions about maybe a multiple rate schedule. So if you use something in, you know, during the high peak hours of the day, then you would pay your normal rate, and if you use off hours, then you get a discount rate. And so it's a way of saving money for the ratepayers.
Right.
Do you believe that? Do you think that they want to cut the rates that way, or do they want to charge you more in the high use times?
You know, rather, I mean, I hope that we get a chance to discuss that option before they make the decision.
But when do we ever get that chance?
I really question that. And I guess that's really the point where, you know, Neil was the first to say, God, we got to do something about
no,
it.
This
I think,
is the
you
automated
know, we were encouraging
attendant.
Jonathan to
please
jump
enter
back
your party's
again.
Extension, followed by pound.
Is that you?
If you are using a rotary telephone, please stay on the line.
Not me.
For a company directory, dial star twice.
That's a station identification or the
no.
NSA. But anyway, right. Dave,
this is the automated attendant.
Uh-oh.
Please enter your party's extension, followed by...
Dave, I'll call you back.
If you're using
okay.
a
have a good
telephone.
Show. I bet it's supposed right. to stop the hour
line.
Anyways. We'll
right.
be in touch.
For a company Law. Directory, dial...
Aloha?
Hello, can you hold 1 second there? I got to do top of the hour station ID, and I'll get right with you.
Happy to.
All right, hold on. Okay, it's 5 o'clock, and you're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, and K284AL in Haleiwa, Oahu. And you're listening to Out of the Box. We've got about an hour left in the show. And this hour of the program is brought to you by the following underwriters.
E-Corp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yecorp.com.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Okay, and aloha or mahalo to those folks for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Let's go back to the phones here. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, aloha. Thank you, Dave. This is Jonathan Jay.
Jonathan Jay.
Sorry I couldn't be there today, but, you know, I'm running for the board of directors, so.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
And, I like to make it fair for the other wannabe candidates so that, you know, they don't all have their own radio show. So it seems only kind to step down for the duration and let us all have equal opportunity to the airwaves.
Yeah, and we're going to put a hand out to all the other candidates and try and get them on the air. So so we you know, want you to call in, and we want to talk KIEC issues with you during the election, but we just have to make sure that everybody gets the opportunity to do that.
Well, I'm all for that. You know, I think the more community discussion we have and the more that the people in the community can hear where different candidates are coming from and what their priorities are and stuff, the better choices that they can make for our cooperative, and then together we can help build a better co-op like that.
Okay.
So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. So you got any stink on the other candidates here, or are you going to try and keep a board here, a good clean race here?
Well, I like to run a real clean race. I don't have any stink on any of the other candidates, but I do have a funny story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was coming home last night up to Wailua Homesteads. It was about 6:15 or so, and I was coming up Olehana Road. And you know that road that goes on to where the Wailua Country Store is?
Yeah.
That's called Kamalu. So at the junction of Kamalu and Olehana, as I was turning around the corner, I see there's a guy on the side of the road, and he's with his white SUV, and he's up on the telephone pole grabbing at something and peeling it off the pole. And I looked at what he had in his hand. There was a bunch of signs that said, vote no against the new fees. And I thought, oh, that's kind of curious. Who is that guy? And shucks, wouldn't you know, it was Jim Kelly.
Is that right?
Yeah, the communications director of KIEC, guy who gets a healthy six-figure salary to do communications for KIEC and do their their propaganda and their media positioning and stuff. Evidently, it's also under his job description to peel posters and handbills off of telephone poles and trees if he doesn't like the message on them.
Wow, that's interesting.
Isn't that?
So he's trying to affect the outcome and the communication of information. Now, I guess you're really not supposed to put signs on the power poles. They own them. Right? We own them, right?
But the members own them. That belongs to everyone on the island. And, you know, as is typically the case and is customary for decades and decades, if you have a message you want to get out to the community, you know, let's say you have a garage sale or your dog is missing or something like that, then people put signs up on poles, and you can tell because there's lots of staples and thumbtacks and poles all over the island. It's a very customary usage of a resource.
Right.
But I didn't see Jim Kelly tearing down anybody's lost dog notifications. He was only just pulling down vote no handbills. So I thought that was very strange, especially because he's got like a $50,000 budget to run his own messaging. It doesn't really quite seem right that he's trying to suppress and censor other people who have different political viewpoints than him. That seems, well, wrong.
Well, was he on the clock at that time, or was he doing this on his own time?
Yeah, I don't know if he was doing it on his own or if he's I think he's probably salaried, yeah?
Yeah.
So I don't think he probably has a clock to work under.
Well, a lot of times you see in campaigns, you know, one candidate will take down the signs of another one, you know, and that's a taboo. That's it might be illegal.
That's something that you might see in grade school or high school, you know, where kids don't have the emotional or moral maturity to know right from wrong and to not touch things that don't belong to them. But evidently that's not the case here, so I thought that was a funny story, and I wanted to share that with the community.
That is funny. That's incredible.
Yeah. There's a serious point to it, though.
What's that?
And that is this. Evidently, this election for the fees on the meters is very, very close. So close, in fact, that Jim Kelly thinks it's worth his while to drive around the island and hunt for opposition billboards. So evidently, he felt it was worth his while to pull those no signs down because evidently he feels the vote is so perilously close that if he doesn't get those signs down, that one or two people might see him and might vote no, and that could sink their whole effort.
Wow. That is strange.
So I wanted to let people know that, hey, the vote is very close. You still can vote no. It's still an opportunity for you, or vote yes, whatever is your opinion about the matter. The most important thing is that people get involved and express their opinion, because it's our co-op, belongs to you and me, and the more people engage with the co-op, the better the co-op can become. You know, the more the co-op hears from the community, the better co-op is going to be, the better it will be able to serve the community. And so I wanted to let people know that as we're coming down to the wire, the election's going to close this Saturday at noon, so you got to get your vote in before Saturday at noon. And at this point, I would not recommend mailing your ballot in, because it would probably take too long. So folks can go online to nonewfees.org, and they have links there to Aloha Vote, where you can cast your ballot electronically. Take your ballot and dig it out of your pile where you've got it. You know, if you haven't voted yet, please go find your ballot and get your special ballot number, your special PIN, your personal identification number, and then go online to nonewfees.org and click on the links there and vote online. It takes less than 5 minutes to do, and evidently it really matters, because the vote is so close that Jim Kelly's driving around the island peeling down opposition signs.
Yeah, and the and Bissell is on two shows on KKCR in the last week,
right,
getting his message out, and
right.
So yeah, they seem to be putting a lot of effort into this election here, where I don't know why. You know, you would think.
Well,
that,
I'll tell you why, because they're afraid they're going to lose it. That's why.
Well, but there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they lose the election. The members say this is what we want, and they do it. You know, what's wrong with that? Why?
Well,
why
and
are they
lose
so
space
in,
as well?
Why are they so in?
That's
oh,
one of the things that we have to.
That's just ego. That's not functioning of a utility.
Sure, but one of the ways that we can all be kind to one another on a small island is overlook those failings in people, and when the no vote triumphs, or if it's very close, you know, be kind and magnanimous, and just say, okay, well, now you've heard from the community, now you've gotten some direction, and this is the way we want you to go. I'm sure that the good people at KIUC can take proper direction and can follow it without causing too much stink. They
right.
just previously seemed to like want to do their own thing. They don't want to hear so much from the community.
Right.
It seems like the community is interfering in their business, is the impression I get sometimes.
Right. Okay, hey, I got another call on the phone, and I don't want to give you too much time.
Are you rushing me off, Dave?
I'm rushing you off here.
That's awesome.
And
I appreciate your fairness and your equanimity, and you have a great show, and
right.
I look forward to hearing what other callers have to say.
You know, once we start to hear from some of the other candidates, then I want you to call back in and get your equal time, and, you know, and let us know some things that you want to do while you're on the board.
Well, the main thing I want to do is get the community engaged and in whatever capacity they want. You know, it's a co-op. It's owned by us all. And members have a right to let the co-op know what it is we want from them. And the co-op has a responsibility to serve the community.
All right. Very good. And good luck.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day. And I'll turn in the lesson the rest of the show.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
Hello, caller. Thank you for being so patient.
Oh, good. Yeah, thanks for that great call, Jonathan Jay. You know, when I first heard Jim Kelly on Felicia's show a few months ago, I go, that guy's a shyster. He's a fast talker, slow walker, con man. That's what I thought about him. You know, even though, you know, I'm sure he wasn't doing that on his own. He probably had dinner with the KICU CEO, you know, and go, yeah, this is what we got to do, you know. You know, win at all costs, you know, because of the ego involved. And you know, the old Monopoly game, you know, besides Park Place and all the railroads, there is also on the board, it was the electric. You know, it's huge. The power companies are a huge part of, I don't know whether you want to call it capitalism or what, you know, or control. You know, when the KICU CEO is on Felicia's show, or somebody else the other day, somebody else was talking, they were they were trying to exclaim that, well, look, we've got this technology, you know, let's use it. Like, you know, there comes a point in technology where you go, just because it's there, do you have to use it? You know, it's just another way of basically having more control over the masses because of the expense. It's expensive equipment. It's made by manufacturing companies. Everybody gets subsidized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You
and
know,
evidently,
so
they only
all,
last.
It's all about people that at the top that are making money on gadgetry and new electronics, so something's come out, so let's use it for no other reason than so a lot of people, certain people at the top can make a lot of money, you know? And mm-hmm. and I still don't know why, you know, even though, you know, the guy, the CEO of KICU is, you know, on the shows last few weeks to try to explain why he deserves earning all that money, you know, and there was no convincing argument except, you know, somebody called in his defense saying, well, the stress of having to deal, you know, with all the customers if the power goes out is enormous, it's not like he's risking his life, you know.
Right.
You know, he's got a job to do. He's trained to do it. I mean, if he likes his job, he should enjoy his work. I mean, he's not working really any harder. He might have, you know, I bet he's already paid off his college loans.
Well, but also, now Karen Baldwin was on the show with them last week, and she said, though they did this big search and they, you know, tried to set the salary and they checked with all the different co-ops around the country and all the different utilities, and this is what they get. You know, $350,000 is how much people at that level get paid, you know. But on Kauai, I mean, I can't think of another job on Kauai where anybody gets, I mean, the mayor probably gets, you know, $150,000, $200,000. You know, the department heads are $150,000. I mean, who makes $350,000 on this island?
Well,
you know, what other job does that? But a co-op, which is supposed to be, you know, member-owned, you know, it's kind of a low-budget operation. You know, we're not supposed to be, you know, wheeling
and
dealing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the spirit of, like, it's a spirit of, like, you know, down home country living versus millionaires living in Hawaii. You know, because, you know, one thing that cracked me up is last week on Felicia's show, this guy was talking about, well, you know, it's important to be on the grid or something. I don't know what he's talking. I'm not very technical, okay? But he's going, you know, if you have a big party, you know, you want to be sure that all your appliances work and everything's online or something or other, you know.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I go, you know, when was the last time I had a party?
Yeah,
like,
if you have
know,
a battery,
like,
if you have a big battery system in your house, why would you have a party?
I lit a candle at the beach, you know, when my friend died. You know what I mean? I had a candlelight ceremony, right? You know?
Yeah, and if you're running your house on batteries, why invite 50 people over to your house? Go have it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's basically this kind of epitaph of Hawaii. Let's cater to millionaires, million-dollar mansions, and set up Hawaii, you know, for, you know, not like, you know, people that want to, like, live like the old Hawaiians or something, you
right.
know, I guess. I don't know, you know, in a little grass shack with, you know, because, I mean, I do like modern-day conveniences, but if you could transport me back 100, 150, or 200 years, you know, I'd go, because yeah. there wouldn't be threat of war, there wouldn't be threat of, like, pollution and poison and this and that, you know, I mean, there, you know, and I guess I'll go now, but, you know, I hope you win your post, Jonathan. I mean, you certainly deserve it. I mean, you're obviously one of the best candidates for the job because they, and I'm stumbling on my words, KICU as it's run now
isn't a cooperative. It's a big business.
Right, and that's what they kept saying. It's a business. You know, it's a corporation. You know,
it
it's
is.
It's a $10 million corporation. It's not a or $100 million, whatever it was.
It's connected to the entire conglomerate.
They don't get it.
Of power, PG&E, and all the every electronic thing in the entire world.
Yeah. Okay. I got another call. Lua. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Mine's real brief. The problem that I see with this election, the main problem I see for me, is that I'm a renter.
Yeah.
The electric bill is under my landlord, so that means he gets 2 votes, and I get 0 votes. And my guess is that he and I would vote very differently. He probably has a smart meter, and I don't. And I don't want them. And so there was, in some ways, there was a big equity problem with this. There's other people that own, like, hotels or condos or whatever, and how many votes do they get versus one single homeowner? So that's the problem I see.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh, bye.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to touch on a couple of points the last previous callers have made. Number one, I caught that show with Felicia on Tuesday, and it did seem to me a little disingenuous for the powers that be, the big cheeseburgers or tofu burgers at the KUC to say, well, because we got a subsidy, to put in this new technology, therefore, you know, we had to take advantage. It was like saying, well, I'm going to give you a subsidy for something that damages your health, and I'm going to want to pay for half of it. So that's a deal, isn't it? No, it's not a deal. How dare they threaten all the studies so far, namely, they have been limited, of course, but all the studies indicate that being exposed to the smart meter situation produces inflammation in the human body. And, of course, now we know from the recent business activities, for example, Google just bought this thing called NEST, which basically has to do with the, you know, garnering information via the smart grid for all those who have the Gucci kind of house with your refrigerators talking to your TVs, talking on when you're like almost running over the bicyclist on the highway, you know, when you're, you know, doing your toenails and texting your mother-in-law. The main thing is, like, the previous caller was saying, you know, I mean, these people, I mean, the situation on Kauai I remember when people used to drive junk cars, and then Palaniki, I see everybody driving these brand new cars. I'm like, this ain't the island I grew up on. I mean, I'm like, what's happening here? It's like, we have to stop the dominance of the rich swine. These people, how dare they try to run our lives? You know, the corporation, like, is ruined. The corporate world, you know, via the Trans-Pacific Partnership, they can just dictate the terms and whatever they want. Like, for example, I was, a couple years ago, I was in Waimea Big Save. I met a lady about my age in her 60s, and she was saying, well, she worked for United Airlines as a stewardess for 39 years. Then they went through some kind of corporate machinations, sold out, bought out, bankruptcy, and therefore her pension was, like, drastically reduced to practically nothing. So I think it's the people have to stand up. That old hemp farmer Thomas Jefferson said, perhaps we need a revolution every 20 years. So I think we should kick all the bums out. We should have some drastic change. You know, I mean, it's just so sinful what is happening in America. I mean, Holder, Obama, all those people should be thrown in jail. I thought it was bad under Bush. It's even worse under Obama. So it's just like, it reminds me, anybody who believes that crap on the misinformation on the mainstream media should remember what Mark Twain said about reading newspapers. And this applies to mainstream media. He said, if you read the newspaper, then you are misinformed. So I think that we have to, like, we just can't take it any longer. I remember making $1 an hour working in the early 60s in a machine shop and being severely injured. And then the Yahoo, who, like, owns the machine shop, comes in sailing on his yacht, and, like, even though I had, like, a second and third degree burns, he could probably care less.
So I think it is more than sinful. I mean, and it is true, the minimum wage, you know, is a joke. You know, they did a thing on PBS this last week where they're showing that basically wages in America have not really risen at hardly at all in 40 years adjusted for inflation, but the prices for goods and services have gone through the roof.
All right.
So I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm all for competition. I believe that, you know, the capitalist model can work. But what we have now is not capitalism in a true sense. And, I mean, I don't know how, what we do. I mean, the Supreme Court, they say, well, if you got the bucks, then you can buy all these ads and you can, like, influence elections. So what is a person to do? I mean, I'm not for violent revolution. I'm for some kind of, like, incredible dialogue on every level where somehow we can make a political change. You know, I mean, if we can look at the attempts to change society by violence from the right or the left, that doesn't work. You know, it just ends in more tragedy. But in terms of dialogue and trying to understand, you know, most people, I don't think they really, like that one of the callers previously was saying, yeah, these clowns, they back both sides. Well, yes, they do. So I think the average high school graduate or college graduate should read, you know, some of these alternative histories of America, and they could really see what's happening. For example, my dad was in World War One. During the time they were trying to get people to go into World War One, they were saying, well, you know, we're going to give you this bonus certificate. So when you come out of the war, if you need some help, you know, just give us a shout out. We'll help you. Well, guess what? When the Depression hit and all the veterans, a lot of veterans marched on Washington with their homeless families, the general Blackjack Pershing under his homeboy MacArthur, they came in and they wiped out. They brought in cannons, they brought in horses, they just trampled on all the veterans who were protesting. They're called the bonus marchers. And if you don't believe that, you can just look you know, Google it and you'll see. So, I mean, forget about America being a land of fairness. It's a land of the filthy rich and the incredible large number of very, very poor people. If you make $50,000 a year, that's chump change. That's nothing.
Right.
And I'm saying, you know, I lived for 6 years in the 90s on $50 a month. So when I finally got my Social Security, I was like a millionaire. Like, what? I'm getting all this money. I mean, I get like $800 plus a month, and I feel like, you know, because I live very conservatively, that, you know, but I'm just glad that, you know, I'll be dead soon and I'll be out of it, because what's happening for these poor folk, you know, the only right. reason why they want to pass the immigration so the Republicans could have some cheap labor.
Yeah.
But I just think that we've got to stop the stranglehold of the corporate mentality.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. This is Jim Kelly from KIUC.
Jim, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You must have heard us talking about you.
Yeah. So do you want to take this in order of accusation or alphabetical or
however
or
you want to play it?
Size of hyperbole or
however
what,
you
want
to play it, the line's open to you.
Jonathan called in earlier.
Yeah.
It was talking about my beautification project.
Uh-huh. Want to give us your side of it?
Well, my side of it is Hawaii Revised Statute 445-115 that makes it illegal to post anything on utility poles. So
okay.
Jonathan's breaking the law, and I was taking the signs off the utility poles because they present a hazard to utility workers. There's staples and nails. I got a pliers on my car, and I take down signs whenever I see them on utility poles.
So not just the ones that are not in favor of your policies.
No, I've taken down ones for garage sales and lost cats and dogs, too.
Okay. There you go. So you get equal time on this radio station there.
Oh, that's terrific. It only took me 15 minutes to get through.
But. Yeah, no. Well, there's only one line at a time there. And some people cut people off after 30 seconds. I let them talk for 5 minutes, but
that's
the way it goes. So. But what else you got? What else you want to talk about there?
What else you want to talk about? I mean, I've heard everything go today. I don't know if this is going to be kind of the new thing with if you know, you go on the air, and then when David was on the air, I think it was last Thursday, we were up there, and with Jimmy, and then on Tuesday, David was on Felicia's show. I wish we'd get some of these calls when people, when we were actually there, that, you know, we can answer them at the time.
Right, yeah.
You know, people don't like the salary that he's being paid, and I, you know, there were people that called in and expressed that sentiment, and there were certainly people that you know, feel strongly about it, and I thought that he, you know, Karen and David made the case, and, you know, that's what CEOs of 30,000 member cooperatives get paid in this country today.
Okay. So there was a survey done. Karen made it sound like, you know, they searched far and wide for somebody to fill this position, but, you know, there was David Bissell right across the hall, you know, so it really didn't, she didn't have to go very far to find this person. What's the big deal with that? Kind of, you know, saying that.
Well, no, but I mean, you have to pay what is a competitive salary for that job where you're running a $200 million a year company. You know, the comparison is between CEOs of like-sized utilities across the country.
Right. Yeah, but this being a co-op, I think we would expect to be, you know, salaries to be a little less than I think.
Why would you expect that? It's still just as complicated as any other kind of utility. It doesn't make it any less complicated to run just because it's a cooperative.
Well, he's, you know, probably one of the highest paid people on the island. Is that fair? I mean, is that right? That, you know, our co-op.
Is it right that the mayor doesn't get paid more than he
no,
gets?
The,
I don't think that's right.
Okay.
You know, I think the company is one of the largest companies on the island. It isn't a question of, well, you know, is it fair that he gets paid that compared to what other, you know, the job that he has requires a certain skill level, and that's the going rate for running a $200 million a year utility in America today.
Right. Well, a lot of people are making an issue. It's not me. I mean, there are a lot of people are bringing this up and feel that that is out of sync with, you know, the island. And,
right.
You know,
what else do we want to talk about? We'll have our election on Saturday, and then are we going to keep talking about smart meters?
Oh, certainly.
After that,
I assume so, and if people can talk about whatever they want.
Right.
I know
a couple of people called in earlier and said that they had some issues with some billing concerns that they had.
Yeah, they were charged for smart meter fees when they didn't have one.
Right.
When they had a smart meter.
I can't speak to the individual case, but certainly every single account has got noted on it whether it's a smart meter or not and when the meter was put in, and if somebody's got a question about their account, they should just call the member services folks and they can straighten it out for them.
Yeah, I assume that that's just a simple error that can be corrected. Now, we have another call. Maybe they want to ask you a question. You want to check that out?
Yep. Hello.
Hello, caller. Did you have a question for Mr. Kelly?
I don't. I kind of understand where Mr. Kelly's coming from, actually, and I'm not affiliated with KIDC. I don't have a dog in the fight either way, but, you know, you guys were talking about minimum wage not too long ago, and I really don't want the person who's making minimum wage running my electric company or running the water company or working on my car or anything. It takes a certain level of education and skills to do sophisticated work, and those people are well worth the money that they're getting paid, regardless of what their pay scale is to anybody else. You know, if we look at the way society is structured, everybody has the opportunity through hard work and dedication to advance themselves and, you know, make as much money as they can possibly do as legally as possible. The guy's not stealing money from anybody. I imagine he's worth whatever it is he is being paid. And I think, you know, when we talk about egos here, about KIUC having an ego, I hear lots of egos from the opposition. It's like this Jonathan Jay guy's got a personal vendetta and a big dog in the fight as to how this smart meter election turns out. And another thing is I would like to see radio hosts on this show and the Tuesday show be a little bit more objective. I think that's your job, and you shouldn't have a dog in the fight. You shouldn't be agreeing with a lot of these people that call up, pretty much say anything they want to say, whether it's true or not. The two or three callers before, he couldn't even get the name of the co-op correct. He kept calling it KICU.
Right.
I mean, what kind of credibility does that guy kind of have? And these guys call up all the time. They get all the airtime that they want, and nobody ever calls them on it. And yet the KIUC guys call in, or people who somewhat see that a different perspective, and, you know, they got no credibility at all. I don't understand why radio hosts are as subjective and so involved with these issues, and they agree with these guys who call up and basically can say anything they want to say, whether it's true or not.
Well, consider that the hosts of three shows on KKCR are now not on KKCR because three of them are running for the board.
Two of them, actually.
Two of them, Jimmy, Jonathan, and Adam.
Oh, that's right. Adam does a show on water. He doesn't have anything to do with anything else other than water issues on.
Well,
but it raises
the question that these guys have been making KIUC issue number one, getting people cranked up about this for months, if not going over a year, and then to have them running for the board, to me, suggests that maybe this has all been part of a plan on their part to try to gin up animosity toward the co-op. And, you know, we do a good enough job of that ourselves, but, you know, I think it certainly raises some questions about the the sincerity of the positions that they're taking, whether they're taking them because they truly believe it or if they're taking it for, you know, to further their own political agenda.
No, people talk about our
agendas. I mean, you know, there's an agenda for you right there.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think it's criminal that these guys have the opportunity to use, talk about a co-op, public airwaves that are supposed to be free to everybody. They pretty much have these shows and have had these shows to themselves for what appears to me years, way too long, and they just hammer it down.
These are the same guys that complain that we put some ads on the air, and they're complaining that we're spending money to put our position out there after, by my count, Dave, smart meters have been a topic on this show over a dozen to 18 times in the last year, at least.
Right, but that's what the callers are interested in. That's what they want to talk about.
No, not always. You guys tee it up pretty good for them, too.
Well, yeah, in many cases, when there's an issue.
You know, I've called up before, and I have not agreed with people. I see how the people who concur with this anti-smart meter and anti-KIUC perspective are greeted, how they're treated, and how they're patronized. When people call in, and I've had this happen to me with Felicia and Jonathan Jay, and I try to propose some objectivity or question where these people people are coming from. They want to know what my name is, who do I work for? Do I work for the GMO companies? Do I work for KIUC? Which none of those are true. But I'm treated very differently because I'm not buying into the perspective that these guys have been, you know, on the radio, on a public radio station, a community radio station. They're treated very differently than somebody like me.
Yeah, well, I guess
I haven't noticed that.
And
I see a bias toward against KIUC from the radio hosts, too. And I don't think that's right. I think you guys should be objective. You guys should be facilitators. You guys should have no opinions about anything. You shouldn't be snickering and laughing with the people who you agree with and questioning heavier the people that you don't agree with. You guys should be, you're as bad as the Jonathan Jays and the Felicias out there as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we try to get all perspectives on here. Everybody has the same opportunity to call in as anybody else.
Yeah, but you don't have the right as a purveyor of public radio to portray one way or another. Your job is to be, in my opinion, objective. You're a facilitator.
Well, that's your opinion on that, I guess, because nobody told me that when I took this job, and it's a volunteer position, and there's really nobody else in line waiting to get in here. I've been, you know, trying to get other people to help sit in or to take over the show for that matter, and nobody has come forward to do that.
Well,
you know,
I'd
maybe you're interested
that.
In
if I live on the opposite end of the island, number one, and number two, if I did do that, you would have a completely different show than you have now.
Well,
that's for sure.
And that's fine. And I think people would like that. And, you know, we try to get as many opinions. Now, one thing is that some of our regular callers, game the system. They know when the phone lines come open. We have two phone lines. As soon as one person comes off, one is open. We go to the other line, and they know to call in then. So there's your a hint for you. If you want to get on the air, as soon as somebody hangs up, that's your time to call. You got like 3 seconds to get in.
this false equivalency of, well, you know, you're always welcome to call in on the air. I mean, you know, I got to drive off the road, stop, and you know, every Tuesday and Thursday I got to be listening to between 4 and 6 to see if there's, you know, what today's flavor of attack on KAUC is, and decide, well, should I call in and will that make it better? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we did the shows last week. David was on Felicia Tuesday, and
right.
it seems to just fan the flames of more people thinking that we're a bunch of crooks and we don't know what we're doing, and it seems to me to kind of be a losing game after a while.
Right. Can I give you my perspective on this?
Yes, I'd love to get it.
And the other
especially
caller,
since you're not running for the board.
That's right. The other caller may not like me giving my opinion on this, but I think the big problem that we're having here with KIUC on this issue, the smart meters, the water, the FERC issues, and like that, is the process in which decisions are made. It's not the decisions that are coming out. It's how they're arrived. There's a board that meets, you know, in a dark room. There's nobody else there.
It doesn't meet in a dark room, Dave. It meets once a month, last Tuesday of the month at 12:30.
Nobody shows up.
Discussing smart meters
okay.
since 2009.
There's a little hyperbole there, anyway.
No, it is not. What's hyper? The dark room? Yeah.
The dark room, yeah.
You know, we're serious about transparency.
Okay.
When you say dark room,
people
take that literally.
Okay.
Here we go as a radio host, you know, interjecting those types of things that may or may not be true, but you're misleading everybody who's listening here.
Let me finish my point now.
Okay.
Decisions are made in the dark as far as we're concerned. We don't have any input in the process. We vote for a board member. They make the decisions. Okay, it's a totally representative issue. It is not a co-op in the respect that the members have ongoing say into what happens. Okay, things are decided, we're told what they are, and we have to live with them.
And there is not a utility cooperative of the 900 utility cooperatives in this country that operates the way that you and others seem to suggest that the members have constant input into the operational decisions utility.
I'm not saying operational.
So you're going to pick and choose stuff that you're kind of interested in, everybody should vote in, but
okay.
You're not that interested in what, you know, where the substation is going to
be. Are you familiar with the 7 cooperative principles?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How are these implemented in day-to-day KIUC
day-to-day,
operations?
They're implemented in the selection and the election of 9 board members.
And that's
how they're.
So vote on the board members and then shut up. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, how is that different from the county council?
Is
that different from the rest of the way that democracy works in this country?
We're not talking about democracy. We're talking about a co-op.
All right. Where does it say in the co-op that everybody votes on everything?
No, it's a democratic member control. Voluntary and open membership. I'm reading this off your website.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
You got it.
Education, training, information. Cooperatives provide education and training for their members so that they can contribute effectively to the development of their cooperatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, concern for the community. These principles, I don't think, are being implemented by the utility. You know, it's basically vote for the board members and then sit down. You know, and so
vote for the board members and the guys that you like don't get elected. There's 3 of them up every single year.
No, 3
of them.
I mean, a lot of things happen in a democracy, and as long as they are openly discussed the pros and cons, and people have an opportunity to give their input, and a decision is made. People can live with the decision, even if they didn't agree with it.
Well,
but if they don't have
a decision after, you know, we got feedback last spring about the smart meters, they decided, you know what, some people are concerned about the smart meters, so let's not force everybody to take one. Let's let people not have one.
Okay.
That was a decision that the board made.
But
that
then,
is makes us unique among cooperatives that have smart meters.
All right.
No
but,
other cooperative but then allows you come back its members to not have one.
Then you come back in a couple of months in a seemingly punitive fashion and say, oh, for the making that decision, now we're going to charge you $120 a year. So
to pay to have a guy drive out and read your meter.
You know, now to read the meters before, we weren't charged for that before. I mean,
yes, you were.
Well, yeah, but that fee is still there. I'm still paying
for it. $10.58 you're paying doesn't come close. If you think that covers your cost of
but
the meter reading, that's not correct.
Well, I've heard estimates on the mainland to cost 50 cents per user to read the meter.
Yeah, that study didn't include any overhead.
The
trucks and benefits.
Right.
And, you know, so, and that also was the cost spread among the full membership. The cost of reading the meters among the full membership is a lot less than it is when you're talking about it going out and reading 3,000 individually.
Right. And so,
you've lost the scale that you get with reading 30,000 readers.
Right. But instead, you know, we're reading only 10% of the meters, but it's 60% of the cost. You know, that doesn't seem to make sense. Plus, I'm paying for the meters that everybody else had, you know, in the $11 million that was spent in buying the meters.
We didn't spend $11 million, Dave. This is where this fee, I mean,
well,
we spent
$5.5
million.
Well, you used my tax dollars out of my other pocket to pay from there.
Oh, okay. If you want to look at
it's
that
all
way.
Tax money. I mean, it's all money out of my pocket and
well,
my own pocket.
The $5.5 million is out of the cooperative's pocket.
Okay.
The other $5.5 million is from the 300 million people in this country that pay taxes.
So I'm paying my share of the people that got the smart meters. Then I'm paying for my old meter, you know, to keep it, even though there's no cost on your part to let me keep that.
There's no cost. I got to have a guy go out there and read your meter every month. We also have 3,000 meters that we bought that are now sitting on a shelf can't use.
Yes, but according to Mr. Bissell there, you'll need them, you know, next month because these things only last a few years anyway. Okay, so you're going to have to replace them anyway. So you got some extras, so you don't have to go buy more. So you haven't lost anything there. But it just seems like, you know, I'm paying for both. I'm paying for a smart meter and I'm paying for my old meter. And even though I was paying to have my meter read before, but I didn't get a refund, and the people that got smart meters aren't getting a refund.
Well, you're going to be getting more patronage capital back because we're saving money, not as much as we'd like, but is it fair for you to save money to get a refund on your patronage capital, the money that we're not spending to read the 90% of the meters of the people that have the smart meters? Is it fair for you to save on to collect on that operational savings?
But how about the money I didn't cost the I didn't cause the utility by not replacing the meter and buying another one for me? I mean, I'm not getting a credit for that.
No, because
I'm sending
a guy who has to drive out to your house every month and read the meter.
But they did that before, and I didn't pay for it then.
You did pay for it.
I mean, I'm still paying for that, and I'm paying for it again.
No, you're not.
That's what it seems like to me.
Well,
and
that's
so,
what it seems like to you. You opted out. That's the choice you made. You know,
right.
I understand you're not happy about it.
Okay.
I understand the
right.
people who opted
you know,
out
and
not
if
happy
it,
about it. But that doesn't mean the cooperative isn't acting like a cooperative because
the directors
made a decision that you didn't like.
Right, but the process, this is the point I've been trying to make. The
right.
process by which that decision was made was not open and democratic, and therefore I don't want to live with that.
In your opinion.
No.
Yeah,
any opinion.
Yeah, I agree with
any.
Tim in your opinion. I don't want everyday people who don't have utility operation experience, don't understand how a cooperative and a regulated utility works, making decisions. I think it would be chaos and pandemonium. We would not have electricity service to the level that we have now if everybody got to talk and debate and vote on every little thing that happened. You've got
that's not what we're talking about. Not every little thing, you know.
Oh, but who decides what's important? You know, what's important to you, Dave, maybe isn't important to somebody else.
Okay, here's an example.
No matter what KIUC comes up with, you guys find fault with it. I mean, Dave's talking about time of use meters, and all you turn that around, not time of use meters, I'm sorry, time of use rates, and somehow you turned that around. It was turned around. Not necessarily.
Well, he says that
it was turned around is that that KIUC is going to steal money from you and charge you rates that are going to be, you know, at their discretion at certain times. And that's not the case at all. All you got to do is go online, look at time of use rates for other utility companies, and you'll get a better understanding on how that benefits not only the customer, but it benefits the utility.
Well, my point there was he was saying that it's a way of saving money, that I could save money. But I suspect that it's a way of charging more, not charging people less.
What he said, if you listen to him, was that during the day, when the solar systems are collecting sun to make electricity, it's cheaper. So that it's possible, and I don't know anything about rate structures, and I don't know how it's going to work, and I don't want to come across as being blindly pro-KIUC, but he said distinctly that when electricity is cheaper during the day, when it's coming from the sun, the rates will possibly reflect that. And when it's more expensive, when they're burning fossil fuels, the rates will reflect that. I mean, that's what he said. So how, and you guys turn it around as it's going to be some heavy-handed thing that's just going to put money in a nonprofit organization's pocket, and, you know, you're going to get screwed again. And I just don't get it sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You seem to see, not you, but your callers, many of the callers, and many of the hosts for these two radio shows seem to concentrate on the negative, take whatever positive that KIUC's done, and turn it around.
Right, but
they did educate people about smart meters.
This is
you guys don't want to believe it.
No, this is something Felicia said. The problem with information that we get from KIC is there's a trust issue. You know, how can we believe?
With the utility
how can we believe?
Kauai goes back.
How can we believe anything that they say?
It started in 1969. When the collective that was put together by the sugar companies sold the electric system to a mainland company, it goes back that far. If you think trust issues are bad now, go talk to people who lived on this island back in 1969 when citizens bought the electric company and they invested millions of dollars into it. Those millions of dollars had to be recouped in rates. It started back then when electricity was cheap and free and the plantations were running it. Of course, nobody had any problems with it. But it's not just KIUC. It goes back many, many years of distrust here. And, you know, I'm not saying that KIUC does everything right all the time, but that you've got to give these guys credit. I mean,
well, and, you know, we have to stand by what we put out. I mean, I've seen some of the most.
What do you mean by that? Stand by what you put out. What does that mean?
What I say on the air, what I put on the website, what we put on Facebook, what we put out in a news release, what we have on our homepage, that's all got to be the real thing. That's got to be true and provable. I can't just
try to be true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, this discussion we had the other day about, I said we replace the meters on an ongoing basis every 7 to 10 years, and somebody says, well, I don't believe you. It's like, well, you know, it's not a matter of opinion, it's the truth. That's how the meters get, they've been getting replaced and rotated every 7 to 10 years on this island for probably going back to the 40s. But my point is, I hear such incredible falsehoods on the show, on the website, put on Facebook, and just stuff that I don't know where they get it from, but we got to stand by what we put out.
Right.
We
so,
don't guess. Don't estimate. You know, we got to tell people what's going on with their co-op.
So you spend $1 million a year buying new meters every year?
No. It was probably because we don't do everybody every year. It's like rotating.
No. So it costs $11 million for a whole island full of meters. And so if you do that every 10 years, that would be $1 million a year of meters. So is that what you spend in new meters every year, $1 million?
No, because the smart meters are obviously more expensive than an old in-around meter.
How much more expensive are they? I don't think I've ever heard a price on them.
I think they're around $100 a piece.
$100 a piece? How about the original ones, the non-standard meters?
I think they're around, like, gosh, I don't know. Sorry. Did I get cut off? Hello?
Now the other, Jimmy there?
Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
I'm
the
here.
Other caller got left or something.
Discouraged?
Hold on. Hello, caller? Is this the same caller we were talking to?
Hi, no, this is a new caller.
Okay, do you have a question for Jim Kelly?
Let me turn the radio down.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I didn't touch the phone at all. I didn't hang up on him. I was happy to have him on the air and talking. I wish he would call in more often because he does have a different perspective
so
than
do
other
I.
callers, you know. And so we like to hear them. You know, we don't set people to call up to agree with us or anything like that. So, caller, do you have a question for Jim Kelly?
No, I don't.
You want to talk about KIUC?
Yes, I do. I have a statement to make.
Okay, Jim?
You know what? I'm going to get off now and open up the airwaves for other folks, if that's okay.
There's only a couple minutes left in the show, so probably it won't take... Hang on for a minute and see if you can.
Yeah.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
The ACLU says smart meters are against everything our Constitution believes in, you know?
Where's that from?
The ACLU.
Yeah, but are you reading from a statement, or are you reading from a news release, or what? I don't recall that quote coming from the ACLU.
Well, you can look it up. Just look up ACLU and smart meters. You're going to get that statement.
Oh, okay. They're against everything that the Constitution stands for? Is that's what they said?
Can you elaborate on that? What else did they say?
They're taking so much information from you that is unnecessary for them to act as a smart grid. A smart grid, actually, when we're talking mainland smart grid, you got multiple sources of energy. Over here, you got one source of energy, KIUC. I actually said it right, KIUC.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a member. I just voted today, and I voted no, and I hope everyone else does. This is to counter all those stickers and posters you took down that were you thought were so illegal and on telephone poles, you just had to take them down.
It is illegal. It's not a question of
worried,
opinion.
Mr. Kelly, I think you're a little bit worried that you're going to lose this little vote because this has been shoved down the member's throat without any discussion. Something this large, something of this great an expenditure should be voted on. Not a top-down kind of no discussion. This is how it's going to be. This is ridiculous. This is being shoved down our throat. So I'll reiterate, everyone should vote no, because the ACLU says this is against all this information being garnered. And as soon as the government asks for this information, you got to hand it over to them, because you know how our government is. It's a fascist organization. Flat and simple.
Okay, caller, we're at the end of the show. I need to let you go, but thanks for the call. Jim, hang on
You're
for
welcome.
A second.
Vote no on smart meters. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, Jim, I thought there was something you might want to respond, unless you have something to say.
Well, I looked up what he's saying as a quote from the ACLU online, and I can't find it.
Okay, well, it may take a couple minutes anyway.
Yeah.
But nobody's talking about, all of the members voting on every little thing that the co-op does. But on major issues like this, I think it would be a good idea to have members more education, more discussion. Like, for example, if you have an expenditure over, I think it's $2 million, you've got to go to the PUC to get approval on that. The members should review everything before it goes to the PUC so that you can go to the PUC and say, hey, our board voted on this, our members agree with it, therefore we think you should approve on this. And so that would be just a general guideline on some of the things that the members could participate in.
Well, let me tell you, Dave, I completely agree with you on the point that this whole experience has been an
learning experience for us as well. I don't think there is such a thing as over-educating the members on the issues that we are facing going forward, and there's a ton of them, and they all go well beyond smart meters. I mean, so I agree with you. I think we're going to be coming out of this much more looking to how we can get people to get engaged with the cooperative, and I'm thrilled there's 11 people running for the board, and there's a forum on Saturday I hope everybody can go to, because I'm sure there'll be a good discussion there going forward.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, and I hope you don't feel intimidated by calling in and or by any means, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
Thanks very much, Dave. Appreciate
it. Aloha. Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time we've got. Somebody else wanted to call in, but we're at the end of the show, and it's time for Acoustic Luau with Marin. So stay tuned for a great show there. And thanks for all the calls. And there's some things I wanted to get to. Never got around to it, though. But hopefully we got some good information out there. Anyway, I'm not sure what's going to happen next week since Jimmy is no longer or won't be able to do the show, his show either for the next few weeks anyway. And so if anybody out there is interested, especially if you have a different viewpoint on things, give me a call. Give a call in the studio to the station, and you know, maybe we'll get you a show. So we're going to go out with a little Alison Krauss, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.